This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
What's up, what's up? Real MVPs, Ricky Widmer here, along with the Mark Weber.
Dub them ease.
And Mark, I didn't say this on the primetime podcast, but I forgot. They're probably gone by now.
Mm-hmm.
New year, new us. We've got new graphics that pop up.
There you go.
They're white and they show our color. So for you and I, they're blue text before it goes to black text.
It's pretty.
And it looks a lot better than that black bar that would just come across the bottom and go out. Mark's like, whatever, it's a bar. It comes across, it tells you what to do.
It's one of those, like, things happens for 5 seconds, makes you happy. Nobody else noticed. Nobody else even realized or cared.
But new year, new us, this is our second podcast because we had last week's. Was it part of
the first one we recorded 2019?
But today we got a jam-packed show talking about coaches getting hired. We're going to talk about not most of them. Some we're going to hold over for other ones. But today we're going to be talking about Matt LaFleur. I think that's how you say it. Matt LaFleur. Green Bay Packers hiring him. So we're going to talk about what it means for the Packers and can he bring them back to Super Bowl contention. Then we're going to look at, I'm actually going to change the title because originally it was should the Cardinals make Cliff Kingsbury the next coach? Well, they did. So we're going to talk about that decision in general. And then we're going to wrap up the show before our picks talking about Dwayne Haskins, his best fits, because he is now declared for the NFL draft. He is going to be the first quarterback off the board. And then we're going to end things making our picks for the divisional round. And I will tease for in that segment, Mark, I'm going to ask you for your reaction about your Bears loss. So I'm going to tease it now, but I'm going to ask you for that when we get to the picks. And Mark's probably like, whatever, it's the Tuesday after.
So yeah, Tuesday.
And it's all over by this point. But before we get into our first topic, make sure to check out patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcast. That's how you help support the show. We can't do what we do each and every week without the support from our patrons. But Mark, let's look at the first topic. Matt LaFleur, he was the OC with Sean McVay and the Rams, then last year, or this past year, was the OC with the Tennessee Titans under Mike Vrabel. He is now the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers. What are your thoughts? First off, just your thoughts on the Packers making LaFleur their head coach, because many thought it was going to be Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, and Josh McDaniels afterwards was essentially like, all right, I'm good. If I'm not getting Green Bay job, I'm staying in New England. But to me, this is an obvious, we don't want anybody to be in Aaron Rodgers' way. Because, so LaFleur was the offensive coordinator, in air quotes.
Because Sean McVay was the offensive
in
coordinator.
Yeah, in L.A. Because Sean McVay was like, hey, you want to hold this clipboard? And that was about it. And we're joking, but that's why he left. That's because you're like, why would anybody, why would anyone offensive leave the L.A. Rams to go to the Tennessee Titans? Sorry, Titans fans. Your offense is nothing, essentially. But that's why Matt LaFleur did it. He left because he wanted more control. He wanted more say. And what better place to be than the offensive coordinator where there's a defensive head coach? Because he's going to tell you what? Hey, do whatever you want. I don't care as long as we score points. And unfortunately for Matt LaFleur,
it's kind of like Vic Fangio in Chicago. Hey, stop them from scoring.
That's the whole NFL's MO right now. McVay's doing it with Wade Phillips. Nagy does it with Fangio. It's this whole idea of get this young offensive mind and get somebody else to deal with the rest. And Matt LaFleur goes to the Tennessee Titans, and I'm sure everybody's seen some stat by now. I think it was, 27th ranked offense? Could have been 28, 29, something around there. They're at the bottom of the 20s in their ranked offense for the Titans. Now, there's some things that you can say about that. It took a while to get the running game going. Marcus Mariota's been unhealthy, and he's on his fourth or fifth offensive coordinator now. However many years he's been in the league, that's how many offensive coordinators he's had. So it took a little bit to learn. But still, you look at this Titans offense, and there was nothing special about it. So to me, this is just a very obvious, we're just going to put you here. We don't really want you to do anything. We're going to let Aaron do some stuff, and you just kind of fix a few things. But leave Aaron alone, but maybe fix, like, our offensive line and our wide receivers.
Yeah, because I'm looking at it. And, of course, stats don't tell the complete story. But you look at last year to this year, points per game for the Titans actually went down by just almost a point and a half for them. And passing yards, because really that's what you're going to look at with Aaron Rodgers. Tennessee, like you said, 29th in the league this year in pass yards per game, where last year they were 23rd, 199 per game last year to 185. And some of that is some teams put up some more yards than they did last year. But I mean, the thing that I look at is this a recipe for them to get back into Super Bowl contention? I don't really know. Because, and the reason why I don't know that is I have not seen Matt LaFleur as the guy. And exactly what I'm going to look at is look at John DeFilippo this year. Right now, it wasn't a head coaching role, but when he was with the Eagles, he was like the next hot guy, where it was like the Bears interviewed him, like everyone from mainly everyone from that Eagles staff got interviews. And when he went over to the Vikings, it's like, oh, he's going to be the next like offensive mind that gets hired. And of course, he got fired this year. So, of course, he wasn't going to get hired.
It was a little too early for him
for a head coaching job. And you look at it, and could LaFleur be like Frank Reich? He could be. There's that situation where Reich came over, offensive coordinator, now the head coach with the Colts. But that organization is being very well put together by their GM, Ballard. Well, and
it's getting pulled apart now. But
you think so?
Well, yeah. All the assistant coaches left.
True.
I mean, got pulled apart.
You're saying the Eagles got pulled apart. Yeah. I'm talking about the Colts.
Yeah, I meant the Eagles got pulled apart.
The Colts are being put together, and it's being very nicely done right now, where, like, Colin Cowherd today said that he's kind of, with him, it's like you're just seeing the start of a Colts dynasty that could be beginning.
Could be.
Maybe that's a little bit too soon for it. But for me, I wonder what this hire says, number one, we want somebody who's going to scheme for Aaron Rodgers, because Matt LaFleur is a guy that's going to do what Mike McCarthy didn't, where basically I am going to make up schemes, make up plays that's going to put Aaron in the right situations for success. The second part of this is what new weapons are you going to put around him, because the weapons that you had this year are not going to be enough.
Yeah.
You need more.
And that's actually one of... I've had a lot of criticisms for the Packers hiring Matt LaFleur. Most revolve around the fact that we haven't seen anything out of him yet, so it is a risk. They're really rolling the dice and counting on Aaron Rodgers to pull him through.
He's also not going to... In my mind, he's not going to be a guy that challenges Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think so either. And I think it's almost like a Kobe situation. He's a player coach.
Yeah.
And just let Aaron do what Aaron wants to do. But the one thing that I think actually does work really well, and maybe this is what the Packers looked at, is they looked at Corey Davis and said, Corey Davis was nothing, and Matt LaFleur made him a quality wide receiver. A guy who looks like maybe he can become a number one wide receiver like we all expected him to when he got drafted. You know, that was a big benefit to this Titans offense, and hopefully the Titans fans out there were hoping was going to be a continuation for next year, because I've been a big fan of Matt LaFleur's when he was with the LA Rams, saying he's going to be that hot guy. Then this year I was like, maybe not, because of what we saw at the Titans. Maybe we hold back and maybe it's next year that he becomes that hot commodity. I was expecting one more year with the Titans. I just think that the Packers went on it a little early, but I think that Corey Davis is part of that. They saw what they were able to get out of a guy that a lot of people were writing off as a wide receiver. The Packers are saying, we've got shitty wide receivers. Can you make ours better too? Because that was what he did best, was make Corey Davis a better wide receiver.
Well, not just that, but you look at this year, it wasn't just about the passing game. Like, Derrick Henry, especially late in the year, looked like the Derrick Henry that we used to see playing for the Crimson Tide. And I know that when he was with, I know you could say, like, oh, like McVay was the OC for the Rams, but Todd Gurley with the Rams, Derrick Henry with the Titans. And then I go ahead and I look at the Packers, and that's the one thing I look at, and I go, the running backs that are on this team, is Jamal Williams, like, is he going to be expected to now be, like, is this going to be something that benefits Jamal Williams, and mm-hmm. he's going to be the guy that steps it up in his third year in the NFL? Or is it going to be something where it's like, hey, I need to get my running back
go
in
get somebody.
Here. I need to go get a Le'Veon Bell and get him in
and
here.
And because Todd Gurley, I mean, I don't think anybody can compare somebody right now to what Todd Gurley is.
I mean, top one or two back in fantasy, depending on what David Johnson feels like doing.
So that's a whole different thing right there. But to me, that's what I see. But this one and the next one that we're going to talk about fairly soon just spells what the NFL is right now. It is get a young guy so that way, a young offensive guy, and just make him your head coach. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want your hot offensive coordinator prospect to get Matt LaFleur, essentially, or to get Sean McVay. You don't want one of these guys. You can even throw Matt Nagy in there because he really only had that 1 year with Kansas City as the offensive coordinator. You don't want to have that hot, young offensive coordinator that everybody's excited about that makes your team better, and then some other team goes, thanks, we'll take him from here, and makes him your head coach. You just put him straight in the head coach position, especially if you can make him head coach slash offensive coordinator, and say, hey, we found consistency.
Yeah.
You know, what's the worst thing for Mariota? He never has the same offensive coordinator. What sucks for every single Chicago quarterback before, essentially, now what we hope, Mitch Trubisky, they had a million offensive coordinators, a million head coaches.
Well, it helps when your head coach is your OC.
Well, it just helps to have somebody who's going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, look at the Cleveland Browns. Nobody can ever succeed because it's a revolving door at everything until recently. This is the Packers, and the Packers are different because they have Aaron Rodgers a little bit, but they had Mike McCarthy, such a huge, consistent type of guy, and they're coming in now saying, we're just putting this guy who we like, we're putting him right in there. We don't care if it's a little bit early. We're going to give him the time that he needs, and we got a quarterback that's going to help pull him a little bit as well, and we don't need to make any changes in a year or two.
Well, let me ask you this then, because what I was looking at this today, where the Packers, the last two seasons have been interesting for Green Bay, whereas, so 2016 was the last time the Packers made the playoffs. They got to the conference championship. That was the year where they beat the Giants in the wild card, beat the Cowboys by three in the divisional, lost to the Falcons in Atlanta before the Falcons went on to spoil the Super Bowl against the Patriots.
Well, get it spoiled on themselves.
Yes. 2017, Aaron Rodgers is injured. They go 7-9. 2018, Aaron Rodgers is healthy. However bad season.
Healthy-ish.
They go 6, because he got injured week one against Khalil Mack and the Bears. 6-9, 6-9-1. Almost the identical record. Like, they would have beat the Vikings.
Half a game better.
Like, they would have basically been the same. And I look at it, or half a game worse.
Half a game worse.
What I look at is, the question I'm going to ask you is, with Matt LaFleur, is this team a playoff team next year? Because you look at it, they were 6-9-1. They were basically, what, two and a half games out of being a sixth wild card team.
I think that with Matt LaFleur doesn't matter to me, because as long as Aaron Rodgers is there, they're always going to be in competition for a playoff spot. They made it 8 years in a row. There's only been two seasons of Aaron Rodgers that they haven't made the playoffs.
Well,
or
technically
three.
Yeah. Because 2017, you'll put an asterisk. Because they just, because
he wasn't there. He was hurt. But I think this year, and then essentially his, I think it was his like first year.
So, because I want to see when he exactly started as a starter. So he was the full-time starter in 2008. His first year, 2008, they went 6-10 ever since they'd made the playoffs until 2017.
So I don't care who the offensive coordinator or head coach is. Make me the head coach. You'll go to the playoffs. You got Aaron Rodgers. You know, And that's playing it down a little bit, but I don't think it matters necessarily, and I think that Green Bay knows that. That's why they're willing to take the gamble that works a little bit easier for them than it does for the Arizona Cardinals to say, we'll take the young guy. If he makes some mistakes, that's fine. He's got things we like, and we're going to let that grow a little bit, and we're going to work with that. Now, for me, I do think they potentially are a playoff team because I don't think this team is that far away from being able to make the playoffs. Because really, they weren't that far away from, what, 2.5 games is what it was? So they weren't that far from being there.
Let's be honest. Like, I'm looking at it right here. The Viking won for sure because that was the 29-29 tie. Mm-hmm.
Could have won it.
You get a kick bounce the other way, you're winning that game. The Rams, 29-27, bounces the other way. You get a win there.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Seattle, 27-24, ball bounces another way. Boom, there's three. There's your 2.5 wins to put you at 9-7. And the Eagles, did they play the Eagles this year? They did not play the Eagles, so they wouldn't have the head-to-head tie. But those are three games, and the Arizona one was a three-point game, too. So that could be a potential 3.5-game swing.
Exactly. I mean, the Packers are always going to be there. To me, when I look at Matt LaFleur, it's just the why Matt LaFleur over anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
To me, I look at him and say, yes, I think that there's potential there. And everybody thought there was potential.
Is it what I said, though? Is it because they didn't want somebody? Were they afraid to go for like a Josh McDaniels because they were so afraid of what happened this year with McCarthy and Rodgers butting heads?
It could be, for sure. I mean, and I don't necessarily disagree that this is a, and that was one of the first things I said, is this is a, like, let Aaron be Aaron, and you do other stuff.
Like what we make fun of LeBron for in the NFL, or in the NBA, of and basically like, oh, he's the coach, and you're a lame duck coach, basically whoever's their head coach.
You know, it's just, to me, I sit there and I say, there's nothing about Matt LaFleur that stands out to me that says, yes, this is the guy you should go for. Other than the fact that there's something they like and they just kind of want Aaron to run the show, and LaFleur is going to complement some other things. I don't think he hurts anything. It's definitely a gamble. You know, they're rolling the dice here and hoping it works out for him. It's a little bit easier for things to work out when you've got Aaron Rodgers. The problem is Aaron Rodgers this past year was not what we've seen Aaron Rodgers do in the past. Mm-hmm. So Aaron Rodgers needs to get himself kind of rejuvenated. But, you know, scheming out is going to help with that. Better wide receivers is going to help with that. Better offensive line is going to help. So offseason is going to help the Packers, I'm sure.
And you know what I find absolutely funny? One of the things from Stephen A. Smith's show today, you know what was one of the discussions radio show, not First Take. So the Stephen A. Smith show, he literally had a discussion where it's called Stephen A. Wonders if Aaron Rodgers will ignore Matt LaFleur.
He probably will.
Where it's basically like a, hey, I'm older than you. I know what I'm talking about. Like, I know what I'm talking about. Because Matt LaFleur, I think, is he younger than Aaron Rodgers? I'm going to look
at
the age really quick.
He's probably, what, 40?
He is 39, so he is 4 years older than Aaron Rodgers, almost his equal. Yeah. He would have been a senior when Aaron would have been a freshman in high school.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you're closer to being equals than one over the other.
Yeah. And that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
What I think most is just that they're coming into this, and you have to know Aaron Rodgers is the star of the show.
Mm-hmm.
You get along with Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers wants to audible, Aaron Rodgers audibles. If he wants to throw every single down, Aaron Rodgers throws every single down.
And hey, maybe LaFleur gives him that kind of I wanted to say
take the leash off.
Basically, of like, hey, I'm gonna let you run the show out there. Like, if you see a different play, I trust you out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not some Joe Blow that we got that I can't trust, that I need to wear with kid gloves. I'm going to trust you. If you see something and you call an audible, I'm not going to take offense.
Do whatever
you
want to do.
Run my play. But that is going to be the thing, is you got to set him up for success. And I just, the first thing I wonder is I look at the running backs. I look at the receivers. Is this enough to compete, or do you need to bolster that a little bit? because Devonta Adams, Randall Cobb, that's about it receiving-wise.
Well, they definitely need more in the offseason, but...
And I mean, they got two young guys that I like, Equanimeous St. Brown. I do like, I think he can develop into something. Alan Lazar, another kid that I really like as he starts to get some more reps under him. I wonder what he develops into, but I just look at this offense and I go, I wouldn't be surprised if with their first pick, if a guy like Hollywood Brown is there or a guy like N'Keal Harry is available, if they go and take that with their first first-round pick in order to bolster that offensive side of the ball so that Aaron Rodgers has something to work with. Any final thoughts on this before we move into a, to me, the more interesting head coaching hire of the day? Any final thoughts?
Not necessarily. I mean, I just think that they did something earlier than most teams probably would have.
Well, this is where you guys come in. Let us know what you think down below in the comment section. The one thing I'll say is interesting is Josh McDaniels didn't do what he usually did. Usually he accepts a head coaching job and then backs out of it and comes back to Bill Belichick. But he didn't do that. Or maybe the Packers were listening to Mark from last week and said, I would not hire Josh McDaniels because that's what he will do. But let us know what you guys think down below about Matt LaFleur getting the head coaching job for the Packers. Will they be back in Super Bowl contention? Are they going to be back in the playoffs next year? What else do they need to do? Let us know what you think down below in the comment section. And Mark, before we get into our next topic, just got to say, if you're listening on podcast services around the world, even if you're listening on YouTube, make sure to go and rate and review the podcast on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. It would really mean the world to us. I hope we're giving you that five-star treatment that we shoot for each and every week. So please go ahead and do that. But what we're going to look at next is we're moving from the Packers to another team that made a head coaching move. And I'll be completely honest. I was going to talk, like, I had this lined up as a topic, like, should they do it? And by the time we recorded tonight, which is Tuesday, they already went ahead and did it. Cliff Kingsbury is the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Here's a little bit of his timeline. So he's been with the Texas Tech Red Raiders since 2013, went 35-40 as their head coach, got fired after this year where he went 5-7, 3-6 in the Big 12. Then he signed a contract and was contractually obligated to be the offensive coordinator of USC. Originally, the Trojans were blocking him from interviewing for head coaching jobs, but then let him interview for this one. He interviewed early Tuesday for the Cardinals, got the job immediately. And there were, I know, like Colin Cowherd said, that he had two sources tell him before the interview that it was basically going to be a done deal, that he was going to be signed at some point very soon by the Cardinals. The basic question I just want to ask you and just be frank with it is,
yeah,
did the Cardinals make a mistake by hiring Cliff Kingsbury? Like, is that what they're doing here?
So there's two things I got to say by it. And my real answer is yes, because I think he's out of here in like 2 years.
One year. Look at Steve Wilks.
Yeah, I think they'll give him more than Steve Wilks. Steve Wilks to me was a, we don't really know what to do.
Like, fuck, we hired the wrong guy.
This guy. No, I think they just picked whoever was available.
Yeah.
And so that's why I say, yeah, it's a mistake. The only reason I'm saying a little bit of a no is because, let's be real, Arizona is the one of the least desirable places to go out of all the options that are there.
Except for location.
I wouldn't want to be in that Arizona heat.
I mean, it's in Scottsdale. Like, it's like Jay Glazer, I heard him say today, he goes, he's like, I would take the, he's like, I love it in Scottsdale. He's like, beautiful weather. You don't have to worry about anything.
No. and it doesn't matter. Location doesn't matter. There are better locations for sure. But just talent-wise, the fact that they just fired a coach after 1 year, they haven't had that much success. It's an aging roster. It is not a desirable place to go. So for the reason I'm saying that it's not the biggest mistake in the world is because if you're ever going to take the gamble, now's the time to do it. If you're ever going to do this,
like, you've hit rock bottom.
Essentially, I mean, it's not necessarily that you're at rock bottom because there are some pieces there. You're not completely devoid of talent, but there's not a ton of talent on this team. So if you're going to gamble, Now's the time to do it. The unfortunate thing is I see a lot of people using that to justify and convince themselves that this was a good move.
Mm-hmm.
Even saying that this is the best time to gamble with a incredibly risky hire still doesn't make it a good decision. Mm-hmm. People are going out there and being like, this is a great decision. Let's go gamble on it. Why not? And you still can't ignore the fact that he's got a losing record. Yes, I know other coaches have had losing records too, but he had a losing record in college football, which is a very hard thing to translate into the NFL. Just ask Pete Carroll, who tried it twice, failed twice, mm-hmm. came back and finally got it put together.
Well, came back to avoid sanctions and finally got it right.
Yeah, pretty much. And then ask all the other college head coaches that get fired right away.
Mm-hmm.
You look at what he does and people are like, he's going to do awesome offensively. Just pair him with a defensive coordinator. 550 is the average amount of yards per game, 42 points per game. That doesn't happen in the NFL. It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people out there who are like, well, the air raid, I mean, enough teams are close enough to an air raid offense anyways. And no, that's not the case, really.
Mm-hmm.
You have these amazing NFL defenses.
There's only
He's
one...
never seen a defense before in college,
well,
in the Big 12.
It's Big 12. There's only one team I would say is the closest to an air raid in the NFL. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like, they're the closest. But, and
part of the reason, too, is because they lost their star running back this year.
Like, I saw an article recently today. Well, obviously it was today. That is basically like, oh, Patrick Mahomes is a reason why Cliff Kingsbury is a good hire. How? Like, what? Because Patrick Mahomes had such a great season,
mm-hmm.
we're saying that Cliff Kingsbury is the reason why?
What, like, college was Mahomes at?
He was at Texas Tech.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
With Kingsbury.
Yeah, so I think the reason they're saying is that he developed Mahomes. Mahomes wouldn't be Mahomes if it wasn't
for Cliff
Kingsbury.
But the thing that I look at is Mahomes' first year as starter, they went 7-6 overall.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, 5-7. So it's like your record got worse in college.
I don't,
with Mahomes.
I think that argument is not the record. That mm-hmm. argument is just simply
he developed Mahomes and made Mahomes what he is, and why the Chiefs fell in love with
and
him.
And then a lot of people put because he overlaps with Baker Mayfield too. Although it's funny when people say that, because weren't we just like giving a lot of credit to Baker Mayfield and how nobody in Texas Tech wanted him, so he had to leave mm-hmm. and go to Oklahoma. But I just think that people are grasping at straws to say this is a good move when this move comes down to a few things. The Arizona Cardinals knew that people weren't going to be that excited to go there, so they made the splash. They are kind of getting taken advantage of by this this hire. This is a guy who got fired for being a losing coach,
mm-hmm.
The first losing coach in Texas Tech in like the last four or five coaches. Then goes to USC as an offense coordinator, gets his shot to kind of upgrade into the NFL and just runs and goes for it. And I don't blame him for that. I do not blame him for taking the job.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that it feels very much like this is the very attractive guy who doesn't really want to date the ugly person here, but they've got good money, so I'm going to go for it.
There's one reason two reasons why it was made. The first one, like you automatically said, it is the least sexiest mm-hmm. of the job, or one of the least sexiest. Like, I would
say least sexy.
Sexiest is what I meant. So I would say probably the only other job that would be available that I would put below, there's two jobs that I would put below Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is Denver because of John Elway. I would not want to go there.
It's a fair argument.
Because you got to have the right guy. That's why, like, for Denver, how right mm-hmm. now the last thing I heard, it's between Fangio and Munchak.
Yeah.
I think that is a perfect job for Vic Fangio because he can stand up to John mm-hmm. Elway and not be intimidated by the aura of John Elway, mm-hmm. the shadow of John Elway you have.
The fact that this, like, it, mm-hmm. those are the two people they're deciding against, I think is another reason of why John Elway shouldn't be a GM.
Yeah, and then Tampa Bay, because they were dysfunctional this year.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis Winston should not be their quarterback long term. Like, this should be his last year as their quarterback. That is not a situation I would want to go into.
And I agree that Tampa Bay is probably the worst of the options, but it was good enough for Bruce Arians. So,
and that, but did you hear?
So apparently, it wasn't that bad.
And of course, we're going to talk about Bruce Arians after our mock draft. So in 2 weeks, when we hit the other ones, that hopefully jobs come in. Did you hear the funny thing about Bruce Arians' interview?
So nope.
They did the interview, then they took him to the hospital to do a physical and interviewed his doctor before they would give before they gave him the job.
I don't have a problem with
and
that.
And like Jay Glazer on The Herd today was like, he's like, I've never heard that before, where a coach had to go after right after the interview with the like GM and such to go take a physical so they could talk to the doctor of
it's a big investment. Candidate. I'm all right with it.
So it was just unusual. You never see it. The one thing this makes sense, though, is because Josh Rosen needs a coach that he can work
with. And Josh Rosen's going to get a big benefit. It doesn't matter what we feel about his success. Josh Rosen will be a successful young quarterback with Cliff Kingsbury.
And the reason why I say it, the Baker Mayfield one, I kind of go, eh, because Baker only played 1 year at Texas Tech before transferring to Oklahoma, and really we know him for what he did with Lincoln Riley. But here are some of the quarterbacks that either as a quarterback coach, an assistant, an OC, these are the quarterbacks he got to work with through his college career. Case Keenum, who's in the NFL still, like, and had a good year
with
the Vikings.
Might not be for very long.
But Case Keenum is not, like, hot garbage, I would say. He's a competent starter. He is okay. He's not great. He is okay. He had a really good year with the Vikings that catapulted him. Johnny Manziel, which the only reason in my mind he's out of the league is because of all the demons that were around him with his addiction problem. If he didn't have his addiction problem, he might have been able to do something in the NFL. But in college,
I don't think he would have.
Was
but
really
okay.
good. Davis Webb, who probably isn't panning out right now. He was with the Giants. Now he's with the Jets. Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield. Those were the quarterbacks that he had worked with. And I think the main reason they made this job his is that he can work with Josh Rosen. And Josh Rosen needs somebody to work with. Because like I mentioned on the Primetime Podcast today to Brandon, when Brandon was bashing Josh Rosen, said that Josh Rosen looked like hot garbage this year, that the Cardinals should think about getting a replacement for Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen wasn't set up for success this year. You could tell Steve Wilks and his staff, A, didn't know what to do with Josh Rosen. B, they didn't have the personnel. Like, it wasn't all Steve Wilks' fault, because I've played with the Cardinals in Madden, and it's impossible to do anything with that offensive line.
Of course, Madden's the deciding
so
factor.
It's not all his fault. They don't have an offensive line there.
No,
as
I mean,
well,
he was set up to fail. We said that on the podcast
when
he got hired, that it wasn't going
to
work.
And I believe, I'd have to go back and listen, I believe when he got hired, I foresaw that said he's going to get shutted. I think I did. It might have been later in the season, but I wouldn't be surprised if I said it when he got hired. But Cliff was made the coach because they needed to bring in somebody who could work with Josh Rosen. Because the thing that I told Brandon on the Primetime Podcast is, what was the one thing we kept saying about Josh Rosen last year when we were talking about
the draft? He was the most NFL ready.
The most NFL ready. And he's looked possibly like Lamar's looked better than him. Baker's looked better than him. For the most part, I would say Darnold looked better than him, and even Josh
Allen. I don't know
if
I'd go that far. Well, Josh Allen, I'll give you.
Sam Darnold later in the year had injuries, but earlier on, I would say because of his play earlier on, had a better overall season than Josh Rosen this year.
Yeah,
like, and Josh Rosen had the worst season out
of
all
the
rookies.
I was actually surprised that Josh Rosen even got to start. Because even though you knew Sam Bradford would get hurt someday.
But they had the ginger giraffe, too.
But they did. They had people in front of them, so it was surprising. But it's totally the Josh Rosen thing. But the other thing, same thing we said about the Packers and Matt LaFleur, it's you don't want to hire Cliff Kingsbury and say, you be our offensive coordinator. Because if it works, he's gone.
Yeah.
and it's
with
pretty
somebody else.
Pretty obvious by the way he just treated USC to say, thanks for saving my ass, but peace.
What do you think about that? Him,
I don't blame him.
Him getting hired, he's under contract, and then what, 2 weeks later, leaves for an NFL job?
I don't blame him because who wouldn't leave for an NFL head coaching job is what it comes down to. If it was like an NFL offensive coordinator, I still probably wouldn't blame him, but I would be like, all right, maybe you shouldn't have done that. But I almost sneezed on the podcast. But the thing that I think about with that is he does show that he cares a little bit about himself, which I don't necessarily, I'm not necessarily that entirely surprised by it, but he cares a lot about himself. And that's one of the reasons why I don't think you could have made him an offensive coordinator, because he would have gone and become a head coach somewhere if he had the opportunity. The first chance he got, he would have went for it. So I think that's an interesting thing. But to me, just like Matt LaFleur and the Packers, this was a, we don't want him to leave. We're going to gamble that this is our guy, and we're going to just make him the head coach. Because if we do have success and he's an offensive coordinator, he's gone. So we have to just do it. And that's really what's happening with the NFL. Quarterbacks are so important, especially young quarterbacks and their development, that Josh Rosen can't go through a third offensive coordinator next year. You know, not this season coming up, but the following season, 2020. He can't be going through his third offensive coordinator by then. Actually, I think that'd be his fourth, because he's already on his third offensive coordinator. He can't do that. You can't do that because you're going to ruin a high draft pick. That's one. That's another reason why they go for this. They have to make a splash. They have to just give him the keys to the castle already and hope that it works out okay.
I look at it, and I mean, this was the job when you and I looked at the Black Monday coaches. We said that this was the job that was perfect for Adam Gase. And I look at it and I go, like, the Cardinals interviewed Adam Gase. Like, there's a report from New Year's Day that the Cardinals, that Adam Schefter said that Gase would interview with the Cardinals that Wednesday. My question is, what made you think in your head, you being the GM of the Cardinals, what made you think that Cliff Kingsbury would be a better option for Josh Rosen and for your NFL team than Adam Gase, who has least been in the NFL?
To me, it's obvious. It's 550 yards per game, 42 points per game. They saw those two numbers and said, yes, we want that. They saw that and thought
even
success.
Even though the college game is different than...
Yes, 100%. Okay. They looked at Mahomes and saw what he was able to do in a much better team with a much better coaching staff and said, we want that. They look at this and say, well, what does Cliff Kingsbury suck at? Defense? We'll get him a defensive coordinator. You know, what does he suck at? Recruiting, especially defense. He doesn't, I would say he sucks at recruiting. He sucks at recruiting defense. Well, doesn't have to recruit anymore. We got a GM who... pays people. People come here because they want money.
Well, pays people or drafts them.
Yeah.
Either or.
And the head coach doesn't need to be a part of the draft in any way, shape, or form. They've got scouts and they got a GM. That's what they do. So they took the things, I will say that, they're taking away the thing, not necessarily they, but the things he is worst at are things he's going to have nothing to do with. So they're getting most of the good stuff out of him.
I wonder who they're going to bring in to be the DC, because like a guy like Todd Bowles.
I think that's Buccaneers.
Yeah, he's going to be with Bruce Arians. So I mean, or the rumor is that he'll be with Bruce Arians. So like me, I'm thinking about the defensive guys that were on the market. Like, I don't think there's the guys that were on the market that were going to make lateral moves like a Vic Fangio. He doesn't come along because Vic Fangio will be like, why make the lateral move to go with the Cardinals? Well, I'll just stay in Chicago.
Bad defense.
If I
have
one.
A great defense.
Exactly. Where there's no, in my mind, Bowles was it, unless there's one that I'm not thinking of where it was like defensive guy who got fired.
This
basically.
Is the phone call that I'm going to try desperately to make, and I'll beg and plead, and I'll take my shoes off if I have to. I'm going to call Rex Ryan and say, you want to come be a defensive coordinator? Are you a little bored in the booth?
I don't know. He
looks like he's having a great time.
He had fun ripping into Cody Parkey.
Yeah. Well, he's a big Bears fan all of a sudden. I mean, who would have guessed that the son of Buddy Ryan's a Bears fan?
I know, right?
But he loves the Bears. And you know what? It made, for as much as I made fun of Rex Ryan for a long time, it makes me kind of like Rex Ryan a little bit nowadays.
Did you see the segment on Get Up?
A little bit of it.
Where they asked him where if he feels sorry, and he was basically like, no, his one job. The way he was talking was like an NFL coach who hates kickers. Because he's like, they don't do anything. They're just there to kick a ball. They don't do anything all year. Kick the ball. Make the field goal. That's your job. And I was like, whoa, Rex.
Rex Ryan had a job,
a
too.
A little bit of sympathy
win
for the
some
guy.
Games. He got fired, too. So I think it's a little bit of bitterness on the part of Rex Ryan. But anyways, and that's coming from somebody who, you know, the next day fired up Madden and cut Cody Parkey. I ended up with Steven Guskowski. I think I'm doing pretty all right. But anyways, you know, it's just, to me, the Kingsbury hire is them saying, we sure hope this is the next hot, you know, McVay, the next Peterson, the next Nagy. Mm-hmm. We really want to get one of those. Let's just hope that this is it.
I just, with me personally, I don't think it's going to work out. With me, there's like, I'm looking at it 75% it doesn't work out, 25% it does. We're like in 2-3 years, we're looking at it where I think if it doesn't work out, it's not going to be the Cardinals fire him. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be a, hey, I'm going to go back to college. Like, I'm
maybe
not
he
liking
runs
it here.
Before he sees it.
I'm just going to resign and go back to college. There's a college calling my name.
The one thing I'll give him credit for in this case is Texas Tech did have a very bad defense. Mm-hmm. So does having a better defense in the NFL, and we hope it's going to keep getting better for Cardinals fans, just having that and not constantly being forced to be in a shootout, does that allow him to use his run game more and become a little bit more balanced? Because you got David Johnson, you probably want to use him. Mm-hmm. It'll make you better. And there's not going to be success in the NFL. You know, Mahomes is one thing right now, but this is 1 year, and I don't know if throwing it 50, 60 times in a game really works out for the majority of a career. Eventually, you got to calm it down a little bit.
Or if you're throwing it 50 times, how many of those throws are going to be dump off pass where it's like, hey, technically it's an attempt, but like it was like a Patrick Mahomes. Wait, what was that, a pass or a shovel?
Well, the
or
ball
what?
Is literally only not in somebody's hands for about 2 inches,
exactly.
And then Tyreek Hill has it, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's tons of that.
And they got Christian Kirk, who I know he's coming off of I think it's a leg injury, I think he broke his leg late in the year, but like he's a guy that I could see working out well with stuff like that and like wide receivers.
This is definitely
screens.
A better place to be for Kingsbury, but I don't know. I'm not sold on it in any way, shape, or form. It's much bigger gamble than the Matt LaFleur gamble.
The best tweet I saw was a joke of like, yeah, Kingsbury's going to go to the NFL. He'll be with the Cardinals. And then when Clay Helton gets fired from USC, he'll be back as the head coach.
There you go.
That's the whole reason he didn't want to go, was he wanted to be the head coach, not the OC.
And that is one extra thing, though. The fact, and this came back to a thing you were asking before about USC and how I felt about that. Mm-hmm. The fact that USC was blocking him from even interviewing, I don't blame USC for that, but I don't blame him for being mad about it either.
That tells me that they knew he was going to get hired by somebody.
They knew he was going to get hired, and they didn't trust him either. Mm-hmm. They didn't trust him to even interview. But we'll see what happens.
And I mean, the one thing I will say is like Colin Cowherd came out and tweeted that he hated that he did that. But I was like, oh, Colin, you're all one for, like, when Kevin Durant moved, you're all for mobility. But in this, you're magically
Cowherd's
not for mobility.
All for whatever's going to get him clicks at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I just saw it, and I was like, really? Like, come on, man. But this is where you guys come in. Let us know what you think down below in that comment section. What do you think of the hire? What do you think of the hire? Is it good? Is it bad? Look into your crystal ball. Tell us, is it going to work out for the Cardinals? Is it going to work out for Cliff Kingsbury? Let us know in that comment section down below. And Mark, before we get into our last topic, going to throw out the last bit of little thing I throw out at the beginning of each segment. Check out mostvaluablepodcast.com for everything MVP related. mostvaluablepodcast.com. And Mark, let's look at our last segment, diving into the NFL draft. And the reason why I put this one last was because with how things should be scheduled yesterday, the Primetime Podcast should have had a segment of will Dwayne Haskins go number one in the NFL draft? And we're not going to necessarily hit the trade of the Cardinals. We're going to save that for our mock draft next week. But with that being a possibility, with teams being able to maybe trade up to number one to take Dwayne Haskins, with him being the number one quarterback on the board for mm-hmm. mostly everybody in this draft class, we're going to look at some teams that we think are the best fits for Dwayne Haskins. So I'm going to let you start. What is one team that you're thinking about would be an absolute fit for Dwayne Haskins if they went ahead and drafted him this year?
For me, I look at the team that I think would be the best fit, and that's actually going to be the New York Giants, which is great because if nobody trades, they're the first team that gets a shot at him.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I say that really is because Saquon Barkley's there. You've got an amazing running back who's going to make your life a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And Dwayne Haskins, he's the kind of guy who likes to move around a little bit too, so that makes it easier for him to do so. You've got a little Odell Beckham Jr. out there. Not a bad wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a lot of talent offensively to help you out, and the defense isn't bad. Defense is going to be just fine. This is a team that, you know, unfortunately they started winning some games because that pushed them back in the draft order. But the team you see at the end of the season for the football Giants is a better team than this 5-11 record makes it seem like they are. Dwayne Haskins would be an easy plug and play, but if you don't want to plug and play him, he's got Eli Manning, who has years mm-hmm. and two Super Bowls of experience. Not a bad guy to learn behind for a little bit.
And that's the thing that I want to mention is, so I was watching First Things First today on mm-hmm. FS1, and they had Joel Klatt on. He was talking about the national championship game in college, and they asked him about Dwayne Haskins and what kind of team does he fit with. And Joel Klatt said that for him, he thinks Dwayne Haskins fits with a team that has somebody that he can sit behind. And for me personally,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to dive into the film before I give my opinion on that, whether he should sit behind someone or if he's ready to come out right away. But I will say this, the two teams that probably need a quarterback day one, the Redskins and the Jaguars, they're not fits in my mind for Dwayne Haskins, because the Redskins are a team where they really don't have, to me, the weapons around Dwayne Haskins to make it successful. Like, the reason why, for me, the Redskins won games this year
mm-hmm.
is because before he got injured, Alex Smith was doing everything he could
yeah,
to win those
he's
games.
A good quarterback.
The Jaguars, they're going to be a team that's going to be expected to compete, and the pressure is going to be on. They need a Joe Flacco. They need a Nick Foles, a veteran guy to come in.
I still think Dwayne Haskins would do just fine in Jacksonville.
You think so?
He's got Leonard Fournette.
Mm-hmm.
They need better wide receivers. There's no doubt about mm-hmm. that. But they've got an amazing defense mm-hmm. that's going to bail him out if he makes rookie mistakes.
Yeah, and I mean, I just wonder if that's a team that, with me, because of the pressure that's going to be there, how would a rookie handle that pressure? But at the same time, mm-hmm. we've seen Baker Mayfield and yeah. Lamar
and
Jackson this
year. The Jaguars
year
did just go 5-11. I think the mm-hmm. pressure has gone down a little bit.
But for me, the one team I'm going to throw out there, and this depends on who they hire, because they still haven't hired a head coach, I'm going to say the Denver Broncos. And the reason why I am going to say the Denver Broncos is because, A, I like the pieces that they've started to build in Denver. A guy that you said on our podcast last week would have been your offensive rookie of the year this year in Philip Lindsay.
Love that kid.
They also have Royce Freeman, so two young running backs. You've got Deshaun Hamilton and Cortland Sutton, your two main wide receivers that you're hoping for the future that you can go ahead and build on. You've got to, I'm going to throw out, I believe he's a former Fighting Illini, and he is, Matt Lacoste at tight end that didn't do terrible for them this year. And you look at it, and he doesn't have to start year one for Denver. Case Keenum is there for another year. So he could sit a year, get acclimated to the NFL, fix what he needs to fix, and then start in 2020. My only caveat was that is, let's say they hire a Vic Fangio. My question then becomes, who's going to be the OC? That would be the thing I look at and why it won't be the perfect fit, but I don't think it would be a bad fit for him in Denver.
Do you actually believe, though, that next year, if you have a Dwayne Haskins, that Case Keenum will actually start all 16 games?
Yes,
I do. I don't. Not in the slightest.
I mean, maybe, okay, if it, with me, unless, like, and of course things can change throughout the season, what I would say is if he does start, it's a Patrick Mahomes situation of like, all right, you'll play week 17.
No, not at all. Because there's a difference between Alex Smith as a quarterback than Case Keenum, a guy who quarterback rating of 81.2 for his quarterback rating. His QBR was a 47. Threw almost as many interceptions as touchdowns.
But put him with the right OC and look at the year before. I know that, like, we're looking at that Viking year as, like, flash in a bottle. Yeah. But you put him in the right situation, and he's not
terrible. I don't think
you're
going to get the right situation in Denver, though.
Denver hasn't proved that they can make anything work with a quarterback.
If we had the same season as last year, they won their first two games and went on a four-game losing streak, Dwayne Haskins is in. I mean, they're not going to let that happen, especially when you draft him that early. Especially when you have the added pressure for John Elway of Paxton Lynch. Never even had a chance.
Paxton's done. Like,
but I know that's not my point. My point is you drafted a guy early in the first round, and he never plays. You can't then draft Dwayne Haskins and say, but Case Keenum is our starter. The people would riot.
I think that you could, like, if there's
not if
a,
you start losing games.
If there's a a legit reason, you can have it be 1 year. The thing with Paxton Lynch was after that first year, it was like, all right, is he ever going to be ready to take over? Is he ever going to, because every time it's like we would get a glimpse, it's like, wow, he's not ready for this.
Yeah.
And I don't think you would get that with Dwayne Haskins.
I agree that you probably shouldn't get that with him. I just think that Case Keenum is not Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a guy who's going to make you say, there's no way we could possibly let the rookie start. Not when you start losing games. If you're a 6-10 team again, Dwayne Haskins was playing.
I could say is a fair, like, a fair point, but I would hope that maybe, like, if they hire Vic Fangio, Fangio brings in an OC that's going to bring the best out of Case Keenum, unless he's drafting.
I don't know. All these offensive coordinators getting head coaching jobs.
He's drafting, you know, Dwayne Haskins to be the guy right away. But, like, for me, because the thing is, there's only, like, there's two teams for me. The Giants are probably the best one. The question is he going to get to six? Is that the problem? Are they going to have to trade up to get him? Another team that I think could be interesting, if we're going with the whole sit behind him theme, Miami, because that's one where Ryan Tannehill, with a new coach coming in, is Ryan Tannehill, if they take Dwayne Haskins this year, will he then be the guy where it's like, all right, we've got our guy in waiting. Once Dwayne Haskins is ready this year or next year, Tannehill is done.
It's possible, but that's another one where, depending on that new coach in Miami, it's a big question mark on if they want Tannehill to really be there or not. Plus, Tannehill can't be healthy. So Dwayne Haskins is going to get in there sooner rather than later. I think the Miami Dolphins would be a bad fit if you want him to sit, because you know he's not going to sit. Unfortunately, the team, you know, the dream team for potentially sitting and then coming back and actually starting soon, the Saints, don't have a first-round pick. And even if they did, it'd be like 30, 31, or 32. So you're not going to have that possibility
either. Right now, they're projected at 32 because they're the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so good job, Packers. You'd get the 32nd overall pick, and you didn't even make the playoffs. But, you know, that's another team there with the Packers, too. I mean, that's a good situation, but he'd probably be sitting for 3 years. But there's a spot where you'll get to sit and learn, that's for sure.
What about Tampa Bay? That's one that I threw out to Brandon on the PTP, Brandon wasn't for it because he thinks that Arians likes Jameis Winston and that Winston will be there longer than next year.
Well, I think that there's an assumption that Arians went to Tampa Bay for a reason, mm-hmm. and he knows who the quarterback is there. Mm-hmm. So he's got to be a guy who assumes he's going to get something out of Jameis Winston. So I agree with Brandon on that case that I think that Bruce Arians going to Tampa Bay is proof that he thinks he can work with Winston. Mm-hmm. But even if he, let's say he didn't and he drafted him, that's just a big mess. You know, to have Jameis Winston there and then to have this new one here, Dwayne Haskins, and it's just going to be similar, unfortunately, to the Ryan Fitzmagic and Jameis Winston of maybe this is our starter, maybe that's our starter. We're really not sure. I think it'd be too similar.
And then I'll ask you this. Oakland. Brandon threw out Oakland as his kind of dream situation for Dwayne Haskins. My only thing with Oakland is, A, they're trying to lose games. B, Derek Carr, unless you can get a trade for Derek Carr's locked up for, like, I think it's like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, they have Derek Carr right now, but I do think a team would trade for him. Mm-hmm. I don't think there'd be a problem getting rid of Derek Carr if you wanted to. You'd get somebody to trade for him, and I've said before that I think Derek Carr should be a little bit worried for his longevity there, just because Oakland has and John Gruden have gone into this with this mentality of, I don't care who you are.
I got 10 years.
Yeah, I got 10 years. I will do whatever it takes to get the perfect team.
Which, by the way, best joke I heard today, Poppy on Highly Questionable was like, oh, John Gruden makes all the moves. He's calling all the shots. Well, the first thing he should do is, you know, I deserve another 10 years, 10-year extension.
There you go.
I won a couple games, 10-year extension.
Because now he's only got 9 years.
Yeah.
So time's coming up pretty fast.
He'd have 19 years if he gave himself a 10-year extension.
You know, I think here's your dream scenario for the Raiders. You package a couple of those first-round picks. You get Le'Veon Bell on the team.
Just don't forget, you got the Bears
or Antonio Brown
next year, too.
Yeah. Maybe you get Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. That'd be a dream scenario, right? Then you can go ahead and draft Dwayne Haskins, and look, you got a dream team.
Yeah.
Just don't use the word dream team. It doesn't work out for you.
I will ask you this, because like what I told Brandon, because we kind of talked quarterbacks, is for me there's 7 teams that could go quarterback. The Giants, the Jaguars, the Broncos, the Redskins, the Dolphins.
I think you missed the Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers.
You might not have said the Raiders. The Raiders.
And the Raiders. Those would be the 7 teams. Maybe, like, at 19, the Titans, maybe, if they're thinking about what you always say, where you're not,
he's just
the
not healthy.
Biggest supporter of Marcus Mariota because he has not been healthy. Maybe then that is 8 that you're looking at. I will ask you this because this will be kind of a tease for next week, because next week we're going to, in our mock, one of the things we will ask is, should the Cardinals trade for, like, trade out of
trade
number
down.
One? I'm going to flip the question this week, though, for fits. So let's say you're the Giants. Best fit that you think is the Giants for Dwayne Haskins.
Yep.
Do you wait at 6 for him, or do you go up and take your guy at number one? Kind of do what the Bears did.
I would wait. And the reason I would wait is because there's, and I know that I'm not a person who says this, but a lot of people always say next year's a better draft class for quarterbacks. So I'm all right if I get to sit here and not get my quarterback this year because I got Eli Manning. Eli Manning's good enough for one more year, and my fans aren't going to crucify me for keeping Eli Manning for one more year because Eli Manning has earned the respect of New York.
Especially if I can get a guy like Jonah Williams that maybe lessens that 42 sacks that he took this year.
For sure. So I'm okay with that. I don't think I would trade up. I'd be willing to sit and hope that he falls down to me because I know there's quite a few teams that do potentially need quarterbacks, but it's not like there's really only 2 teams that desperately need a quarterback right now. And one of them is probably going to end up with Joe Flacco.
Well, yeah, that's another thing too. Like, I'll ask you what I asked Brandon. If you're a GM, and I know this changes from team to team, but just your general thought of it.
Yeah.
If you're a team that needs a quarterback, would you lean more with trading up for Dwayne Haskins or saying, you know what, the price might be less if I go and get a Joe Flacco and Nick Foles?
I think I would go for one of the veterans. trading up for a quarterback, that's your job right there. If it doesn't work out, you're gone. So I think I would try and go for either try and trade for a Joe Flacco or just sign Nick Foles. He's going to be available this year.
Well, Nick Foles, I looked at it because I was listening to like sports talk, and I'm like, huh, they're talking like he has another year. Apparently, there is an SpotRac has it as in 2019, it's a mutual $20 million base salary with the $600,000 signing bonus for 2019. So it looks like the Eagles will have him another year, and teams will have to trade for Nick Foles.
Well, if it's mutual, then he can get out of it, right?
There's a potential out, but I think it's a. I wonder if it's he can back out or if the team has to get rid of him.
I assume that if it was, and we'd have to look at it for sure, and we're not going to do that on the podcast because it'd be boring. But I assume that a mutual would mean both have to agree to continue. So if Nick Foles says, I'm not continuing, he's gone.
So right here it says, that's it. Eagles must exercise option 1 week after the Super Bowl. Foles has 5 days after Eagles' decision to exercise. If he declines, he must pay back $2 million of his 2018 bonus.
Which, if he continues to do at least decently in these playoffs, Super Bowl or not, doesn't matter, he's going to make a lot more than $2 million. That's for sure.
So, but here's the thing, and this plays into it as well, and I know this is away from Dwayne Haskins, but I'll bring it up anyways. Because it goes into the conversation. Here's another point to it. The 2019 salary, that $20 million, is fully guaranteed on May 18th. So what? You take that. If the Eagles say, yes, we want you. You say, yes, I want to be back. Then what, a month? You wait a month and boom, it's fully guaranteed. That might be hard to walk away from if you're Nick Foles.
Well, more than a month.
A little over a month. It would be February to March.
Oh, I thought you said May.
No, sorry. March 18th of 2019. Okay. You wait a month and it's fully guaranteed.
But if you've now taken this team into the playoffs 2 years in a row, you're really going to go back to the bench. I know that $20 million.
$20 million.
But if you're a starting quarterback, you're probably going to make $20 million.
Is he, though? And start. Or is he going to take a discount? Will he have to take a discount?
I doubt it. The man's a Super Bowl MVP. He's not taking a discount.
Let's see, Case Keenum.
And he's tied for a record with Peyton Manning for most touchdowns in a game.
Just to throw it into consideration is Case Keenum in his 2 years, $8 million this year, $18 million next year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a possibility that if he signs a two-year, one of the years could be closer to that $20 million. But it all depends on...
Case Keenum, what? Super Bowl MVP. I don't know.
Could be two Super Bowl MVPs if he's
totally possible
back this year. But any other final things that you think we haven't mentioned with Dwayne Haskins fits for him?
We talked about all the teams and all the fits.
Is there a dark horse that we're not thinking of? Maybe someone out of the seven that are like, boom, we're going to take a quarterback that no one expected us to take a quarterback. No.
I mean, there's seven teams who we just listed that might take him. It's going to be one of those seven.
True. I mean, the one that Brandon brought up for next year was the Vikings, where if Kirk Cousins doesn't work out again this next year.
Sure, but Dwayne Haskins is not going to be there. So.
No, I know. But, like, I mean, that's one where I even think, like.
You just want to talk about the Vikings.
I wouldn't push that button if I was the. But I'm also a Kirk Cousins sympathizer after this year, where I think he's getting.
See, he just wants to talk about Kirk Cousins. That's all this is.
Too much hate for a season that might not have been his entire fault. But anything that you think about for this best fits for Dwayne Haskins, where do you think he should go, where he should be drafted? Let us know what you guys think down below in that comment section. But Mark, let's end the podcast making our picks for the divisional round. And I will say, I mean, you did a lot better wild card round than I did because I only got one right from the wild card round.
That's right.
I'm going to give myself 1.5, though. Because
you can't do that.
No.
There's no ties.
Because I said I want to pick the Eagles.
Doesn't matter.
But I didn't pick the Eagles. So I'm going to give myself 1.5 just because
I need
it.
And I get all four right.
But, like, the Seahawks, mm-hmm. I didn't expect the Cowboys to win. I probably should have picked the Chargers, but I was really high on the Ravens. I fell in love with them. And then I almost picked the Eagles to win.
I just fell in love with the idea of Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson winning a Super Bowl as a rookie. But we're going through the divisional round games, talking about them, going to give our picks for them. And we'll start off with the Saturday games. The first one, I know what our buddy Shane O'Mac is going to be listening to what you're picking for this one, because the 10-6 Colts are coming into Kansas City to play Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. The Chiefs are 5.5-point favorites. Mm-hmm. Who gets the win in Arrowhead?
You said it wrong. It's the Kansas City one-and-done Chiefs, because I'm picking Andrew Luck and the Colts. This team is just looking too damn good.
But to be one-and-done, they'd have to win.
No, one game and done. Well, yeah. That's what one-and-done is.
No, one-and-done is you win and then you lose.
No, one-and-done. The Bears are one-and-done. One game and you're done.
Okay, I'm going to look it up. But go ahead.
You're picking the Colts. My team is one-and-done. I know what fucking one-and-done means. This guy. But anyways, I'm picking the Colts. And a lot of it's really Frank Reich, Andrew Luck have been going and just turning it on. This team is so hot. And I know that the Chiefs are like almost a perfect offense. There's nothing to dislike about the Chiefs. But there's a certain Andy Reid that likes to fall apart when it comes to the end of a season or the playoffs. And I think that's going to matter. Andrew Luck is back. The team actually has a run game. Andrew Luck can't be sacked ever because this offensive line is so damn amazing. I wish they had a little bit better of a defense. That's going to struggle a little bit. But if anybody can compete with Patrick Mahomes in a shootout, I'm going to put some money on Andrew Luck. The guy can do whatever he wants. This will be my riskiest pick of this round, but I'm going to have to go with Andrew Luck and the Colts.
Yeah. It was a terrible thing to look up on the internet because everything is going to the draft rule where it's one and done. You play a year and then you're done. I always thought one and done was you because like college basketball. Oh, if you're one and done, win the first round, you get knocked out. Because
then it's not an insult. One and done's an insult. Your team got in one game and you lost.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's like the in insult. College, one and done is not an insult. It's you win one and then you lost one.
No, football's an insult.
But I'm going with the Chiefs, and I would love to – this is one that's going to be like the Eagles for me, where I would love to pick the Colts.
You're
going to
say it every time so you can give yourself half points.
I'm going to pick the
Mr.
Chiefs
Skip
in this
Bayless
one.
Over here.
I thought the Chiefs – like, I thought this would be the matchup going in. Like, the Colts were the only team I got right. I thought the Chiefs would win this matchup when they do go up against each other. It'll be a close one. I'm going to say, like – 27-24 will be the game, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs to get the win at home, although I shouldn't because every time, like, Andrew Luck is going to throw it, it's going to tip off the defensive lineman's hand. He's going to catch it and run it with his caveman voice into the end zone, just like Mariota did. But I want the Chiefs to get the win over the Colts. Then the NFC game on Saturday, we got the Cowboys, we got the Rams. Rams are a 7-point favorite at home. Do the Cowboys have enough to beat the Rams and get to the NFC Championship game?
I'm honestly tempted to one and done another team in this one and say no to the Rams just because they did it last year.
But instead, you'll one and done the Cowboys because they won one and then they're done.
No, that's a two and done, which is not a thing. Ricky, you're ruining this whole podcast. I'm going to have to go with the Rams, though. I mean, I harped on the Cowboys and they came to impress against the Seahawks. I give them credit for that. They looked a lot better than I thought they would. The Rams, even a slightly hobbled Rams at home, they're just going to be a little bit more than I think the Cowboys can handle. And, you know, the Cowboys, Amari Cooper, that Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, they've got everything they need. They've got the good offensive line still, not as amazing as it has been in the past. But the Rams, they just got too much.
Zeke is going to be the crucial part. If Zeke can have a big game and break this Rams defense, they will get the win. But the big thing that I don't like about the Cowboys is against the Seahawks, if you looked at the box score, passing yards, rushing yards, total yards, time of possession, like the Cowboys looked on the stat sheet like they dominated the Seahawks, only won by 2 points.
Yeah.
The Rams are a better team than the Seahawks. the Rams are at home. The Rams should get the win against the Cowboys. And you can call me a Cowboy hater, but I just think that the Rams are going to be well rested. Yeah. They got a bye. They're going to be at home. This will be an easier game for the Rams. I expect this defense to come up and play and stop Dak Prescott, and the Rams will get the win. I'll say like 20. I'll say like 35-17, where it's not going to be close, and the Rams are just going to run away with this one. Then our Sunday games. I think these are the two most interesting games this week.
I don't know. This is just a great divisional matchup. I think they're all fun.
The first one, they're all fun, but Sundays, if I had to pick two of them, these are the games that I am looking forward
to. And this is coming at you, Ricky, because your birthday is coming up. People, stop having babies that get born in January.
Why?
I want to watch football. And you always have these damn parties that I got to go to, and then I got to do that instead of watching football.
I mean, with me, if I have a baby in January, Mark, I don't care if you. Like, we won't even have a party for them.
Multiple cousins in my life that all have January birthdays. And then it's always the divisional round. Mm-hmm. It's always the divisional round.
I was always smart. You know what I always did for my birthday?
Had everybody come over and watch football.
No, I would wait for the Super Bowl and just have a Super Bowl party for my birthday, because I would wait the, less than a month, like 3 weeks that it was, and say, well, at the time, the Pro Bowl was after the Super Bowl, so it was like, wait the 2 weeks, and then boom, I'll have a Super Bowl party, everyone over for the Super Bowl anyways. But Chargers, Patriots, do the Patriots get the win, and are the Chargers going to choke this one away? Because they almost did that against the Ravens, and the Patriots, I believe, are a better team than the Ravens, right? Like, this should
offensively,
be one.
Yeah.
This is one where the Chargers, like, should you be worried as a Chargers fan because of what you saw last week?
Well, you should be worried because you're against the Patriots, because it's the Patriots.
Yeah, but you almost choked against Lamar Jackson, and now you got to go up against Tom Brady.
I think a little bit of that was just the Chargers, like, all right, we won. Whatever. Yeah, and then all of a sudden he starts playing again. They're like, huh.
But if you did that.
Wait a minute.
If you did that against the Ravens, you can't do that against Tom Brady. But you might not be that situation.
Yeah, I don't think they would be in that situation. I'm going to pick the Patriots on this one. Even though I really want the Chargers to win it, because from this podcast, anybody who's been listening to it for a long time.
Because you picked Chargers Chiefs.
I love the Chargers to go on. I really do. It's one of those times we're in Foxborough, and I am scared a little bit front. If it ended three quarters, when the Ravens offense had -2 passing yards, if it ended there, Chargers are winning the Super
the
Bowl.
The funniest thing about that game, because you texted like the people booing Lamar Jackson, how those boos magically turned into cheers after he got 2 touchdowns.
Right. But I just thought it was so because the whole thing was with the Joe Flacco thing. It's like, you guys are losing this game no matter what.
I can't stand that. Like,
just put him in there?
God, why not? The whole thing of, like, it is not Joe Flacco is done. It is the Lamar Jackson show. It is Lamar Jackson's time.
I agree with that.
What does it help putting Joe Flacco in?
If my whole argument was, if he ends this game with negative passing yards and being booed by the fans, that is the last. That's the end of his season. All he's going to think about in the offseason is how much everybody hates him, because John Harbaugh had 2. I know, but this was my argument at the time. That's why I texted it. My argument was because John Harbaugh was too damn stubborn to make a switch because of the franchise. Well, you were potentially ruining the franchise. Look at every quarterback for Cleveland who gets their entire career ruined because of the situations they're in.
And the only thing I would come at that with and disagree with it is, even though he had a good fourth quarter and brought them back into the game, I loved Lamar Jackson. Like, if what Lamar Jackson said, if Kirk Cousins said that after the Bears game, I don't think Viking fans are bringing their pitchforks out for Kirk Cousins, where basically Lamar said, it's on me. I have to play better. If I don't play better, we're not going to win games. We're not going to be in this situation. We would be moving on if I played better.
Cody Parkey said basically the same thing, and people still hate him.
Yeah, but he missed 11 kicks this season. Like, and plus, Bear fans, like,
hated him before that.
Well, Chicago fans, we're a weird breed, because I get it with, like, the Cubs and stuff, we're a weird breed where it's like once we bring out the pitchforks, it's like
they're out.
We are.
You don't put them back.
We are all for, like, we have a weird rationality where our team could be the non-favorite. We're going to win this series. And then we don't win the series. And it's like, oh, frick. And then we blame someone. Like, the thing that pissed me off is Cody Parkey. Is he the next Steve Bartman? No. Completely different situations.
Very
folks.
Different situation.
Very different. But I'm going to pick the Patriots to win. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 28-14 is what I'm going to pick. Might be a little bit low for the Chargers scoring, but I mean, this Patriot team hasn't lost at home. The Chargers almost choked away a game against Lamar Jackson. Tom Brady should be able to do enough to get the win and play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. And then the last one, before we talk Eagles-Saints, I teased it at the beginning. I have to ask you, I know it's not going to be as staunch of a reaction because you've had some time to cool off.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on the Cody Parkey miss and the Eagles beating the Bears in the wild card round?
I honestly was okay that same night. This is what happened. I'm there watching it. I see it hit the upright. And of course, everybody in the world knew that the Bears were going to lose as soon as Cody Parkey went out there.
And thought it was going to go. You thought it went in.
I saw it hit the upright and then hit the crossbar, and I'm like, it bounced in.
Mm-hmm.
He actually did it. Like, hitting the upright. Because honestly, let's be real. That would have been the story of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. The man hits the upright 5 times this season. Time number 6, it hits it and then goes in. Like, that would have been magical. But no, I mean, I feel bad for the guy because he's got the yips. There's no clearer example of the yips than Cody Parkey because you cannot possibly hit the upright 6 times in a season. And the last time you also hit the crossbar.
Didn't like 4 of them come in 1 game?
Against the Lions. Yep. Yeah. And they still won that game. I remember texting.
That was the Thanksgiving game, right?
No, that was the other one.
The home game?
Before it. The one where Mitch played.
Okay.
But I remember texting because the Lions guys in that group chat, and I'm like, the Bears better, like, they have to lose this game. You don't hit the upright 4 times and win. It's not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it. But anyways, you know, this is the thing. Even though I said before week 1 that the Bears would make the playoffs, I didn't expect them to be 12-4. I didn't expect them to be the 3rd best defense in the league. I didn't expect them to be so dominant.
You didn't expect Khalil Mack to basically change the Bears.
I didn't expect to have a 6-touchdown game out of Mitchell Trubisky and see all the flashes I need to be convinced that, yes, he's not there yet, but he's going to get there. You know, I saw so many great things happen that I'm happy to where when I look at this team and Cody Parkey misses it, sure, that sucked. But he did make 3 of them, 3 out of the 4. Just happens the last one was in terrible fashion. I'm thrilled that I got to see Mitch Trubisky drive it down. And you said, I think it was you who said, like, this is where goats are made at the end.
Oh, or, before the last drive.
Yeah.
And I was saying that because you always call Mitch the goat.
Yeah, and he did it. He did everything he needed to do. He put his team there.
I thought the kick was going to get made, and then I was like, shit, Mark's not going to shut up about how Mitch is the goat.
And I don't even care that Cody missed in this case because Mitch did everything he needed to do, and that's fine for me. Because honestly, the Bears weren't going to beat the Saints if they had to. It wasn't going to happen.
Here's the thing. Cowboys would have went to the Saints. Maybe the Cowboys could have upset
the Saints. Cowboys aren't going
to
beat the Saints either. But
Mark's like, we don't even think they're going to beat the Rams. How do they beat the Saints?
Right? So that looked great. I loved it. unfortunately, you know, Nagy is a first-year coach, and maybe if he managed the clock a tiny bit differently right before, Mitch has a little bit more time.
He came from Kansas City. You don't expect him to do that.
He did, and I don't blame him because I would have probably...
They don't know what clocks are in Kansas City.
Right, because I would have probably done the same thing of I want to have at least 1 timeout to stop it for the kickoff or for the field goal. So I don't blame it on that. What I am unfortunate to see is some really dumb defensive penalties on that last drive for the Eagles to score the touchdown. And how did they score the touchdown? Against 10 men.
Mm-hmm.
10 men a few plays after a too many men on the field penalty for the Bears. It just came down to, at the end, the Bears just got a little over their heads, and it just got past them.
You know what it reminded me of? And this is the last thing I'll say before we get into Eagles-Saints.
Which is going to be an easy pick.
It reminded me, I know exactly how Bears fans felt after that game. Because you know what game started playing back in my head? Mm-hmm. Seahawks-Vikings. Same situation. Mm-hmm. Teddy Bridgewater on that last drive did everything he needed to in that defensive game to put Blair Walsh in the situation to kick that field goal, and he missed it wide left. I believe it was wide left.
Yep. The only things I got to say about Cody Parkey is it
sucks.
He won't
be back next year.
You know what? I actually disagree on that to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying him anyways. Bring him back to training camp.
And then just cut him in training camp?
Let him at least try it. Let him at least see. And you know what? And I understand people saying he did well in training camp this year. He did well in the preseason. Sure. But you're paying him anyways.
True. He's, wow. You guys got him locked. Like, yeah, there's a potential out after next year. But you have him locked up until 2022 is when he becomes a free agent.
Because look at fucking Connor Barth and look at Roberto Aguayo. The Bears are like, no, 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 no. We're getting this kicker thing figured out. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't. And the big thing I say with that is, too, people get so mad of like, oh, we all knew he was bad. Yes. Yes, we did. But what was the alternative?
He was our guy.
No, it's not even he was our guy. It was what was the alternative?
Mm-hmm.
Who were you going to pick up off the street that was going to do better?
But this year, you could get Robbie Gould. You can get Robbie Gould, Mark.
And you know what? He lives in Chicago. Mm-hmm. They are Bears fans. He could potentially come back. And I still will stand by the fact cutting Robbie Gould when we did was the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens that he improved what he needed to improve and went to somewhere else where he was good. Well, life is great.
Now we'll make the pick that we have to make is Eagles and Saints.
Mm-hmm.
This, to me, is an interesting game because the Saints, the Super Bowl favorite that everyone is kind of picking, and then on the other side, Big Dick Nick.
That's
who
right.
Who are you going with?
You know, if this... If the Bears-Eagles game didn't have that last Bears drive, I'd be so tempted to pick the upset. And part of the reason was that Eagles defense was doing amazing. There was zero separation. There's a reason why Mitch Trubisky checked down so much throughout this game because they couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
The run game wasn't successful. That Eagles defense was looking great. That last drive happens. And I don't know if it's Mitch just doing it himself at the line or if it's Matt Nagy scheming around a corner that's been giving Mitch trouble all game, but they had no problem scheming around him, tricking him, fooling him, and getting Allen Robinson open multiple times. That last drive makes me say, okay, yeah, the Saints are going to win. Because Drew Brees is going to be able to do the same thing. Sean Payton's going to be able to do the same thing. I know that defense is good. They're going to keep it close. This will be a closer game than a lot of people expect. But the Saints are still going to be able to pull it out because the Saints know how to beat any defense that's out there.
So here's what I'm going to say. You ready for this one?
Sure.
The score of the game is going to be 29-24.
Okay.
This is how it's going to end. It's going to be a really close game. The Eagles defense is going to have the number of Drew Brees, where Drew Brees is going to be good. It's not like Drew Brees is bad, but they're not going to be able to put up as much points as you want. Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara are going to be held in check. It's going to be the wide receivers that are getting it done for the Saints. Big Dick Nick is going to do just enough to keep his team in the game. Alshon Jeffrey is going to go up catching balls like there's no tomorrow. And then what's going to happen? Last play of the game. Nick Foles. He's at the line. Hut, hut, hut. He calls it, throws it up to Alshon in the end zone. Alshon with two hands goes up over two corners, brings it down. And with triple zeros on the clock, the Saints lose 29-24. The Eagles then move on and will be going to L.A. to play the Rams in the NFC wild card round. I was originally going to come into this podcast picking the Saints. The reason I cannot pick the Saints in this game is I doubted the Eagles all of last year. They proved me wrong. I doubted if the Bears would have won, I'd be picking the Saints all the way. That's why I was doing it in our predictions, because I had the Bears beating the Eagles. I have doubted the Eagles too much. I have doubted Big Dick Nick too much last year and this year. I can't do it. It's the Alabama rule. Until they lose, I cannot pick against Nick Foles and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Alabama lost this year, though. That's the wrong time to make that
now
example.
I can't. Well, I mean, but that's the thing. I couldn't pick against them until they lost. They lost in the last pick of the season. Every other time, I couldn't pick against them because they haven't lost to that point. Now, next year's a new thing. I'm like, oh, maybe I pick against
I just
against
feel like
them.
Saying that you got to pick the Eagles because you shouldn't pick against it's them. Like, it's not the right time to do it when they just lost.
It's like the Patriots. Usually, you don't pick against the Patriots.
Unless it's the Eagles.
Unless it's the Eagles.
Or the Giants.
Or the Giants. Unless it's an NFC
You know
East
what? I bet
team.
If the Redskins won the Super Bowl, they'd beat them too.
or the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But I am going with the Eagles to get the upset. And my AFC championship is going to be Chiefs-Patriots. And then we'll have Eagles-Rams in the next round. The big thing that everyone's going to say is this should have been the NFC championship game last year. The Eagles are going to show that they are for real and they are going to win this game. You want to know why I picked 29-24, by the way? If you're a Saints fan, you'll get it. That was the score of the Viking-Saints game last year.
Oh, there you go.
So that's another dig for Saints fans. But thank you guys for listening and watching the podcast. Make sure to check us out on patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcast to help support the channel. We can't do what we do without the help and support of our patrons. Make sure to check out mostvaluablepodcast.com. You can catch MVP each and every day. And last but not least, make sure to rate and review the Onside Kick on Apple Podcast and iTunes. Thank you guys for watching on YouTube. Thank you guys for listening on podcast services around the world. For Mark Weber, I'm Ricky Widmer. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter @MostValuablePod for more great podcasts.